Our custom is to pause a few moments for silent prayer before beginning our class. This allows you the opportunity for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to acquire within our souls your divine thinking. And with this inventory, as it grows through grace, we're able to more efficiently serve you in the devil's world and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in so doing. It is our prayer that the mentorship of the Spirit would direct us this evening, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are studying the doctrine of divine decrees, and we have been led to this observation of an old doctrine because of the fact we're noting in summary that Solomon was involved in a great deal of confusion during his time of reversionism, a confusion that caused him not to be able to distinguish between the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. And therefore, his conclusions led him to the idea of determinism. And determinism is a philosophy, and we noted the Webster's definition, and I'd like to remind you of that. Determinism is a theory that the acts of the will, now it's speaking of volition here, but apparently this volition being spoken of by the determinist is not free, although we know it's free. The determinist doesn't view it that way. So when I say free will, I make reference to our viewpoint and not that of the determinist. And so determinism is a theory that acts of the will, occurrences in nature, and social and psychological phenomena are causally determined by preceding events or natural laws. Now note what is going on here. Let me move this for the moment. We're looking at cause and effect. Now, what causes acts of free will? Or in this case, just simply the will, since by this definition it is not free. Acts of free will are caused by what? They're determined by preceding events, according to definition here, occurrences of nature, and finally, social and psychological phenomena. Now, they cause these acts of free will. They are preceding events. They are natural laws, caused by preceding events and natural laws. And then it goes on to say that determinism then explains behavior by the combination of environment and genetics. And then finally it says that determinism is a belief in predestination. Well, I want to go back to the second definition given, that determinism explains behavior by the combination of environment and genetics. Now, always you can find some truth in a statement. Well, we should note with regard to this particular idea that this is the devil's world and that is your environment. Man is a fallen creature and that is your heredity. You will conform to the norms and standards of your environment and you will submit to the flaws of your heredity. If your volition does not come under the influence and the restraint of divine thought, left to your own devices, left to your own free will, you will be influenced by your environment and your heredity. You are under the, as an unbeliever, you're under the tyranny of your first husband, the sinful nature, and its agents provocateurs, the lust patterns of the sin nature. You are going to be influenced by your environment, which includes demon influence. It will include the concepts of human good and evil and your own human viewpoint. Now, the only way that you can bring these outside influences under control is through the inculcation of divine thought. Therefore, if you are an unbeliever, you can very easily arrive at the conclusion of determinism, that your decisions are brought upon you by preceding events, natural laws, and a combination of your environment and your genetics. Volition is not free. It is manipulated and controlled by outside agents. This is not true. It's the way things work out for the unbeliever, but his volition is free and he makes his own choices. And therefore, he is left to live with the consequences. But determinism really results not only in a view of predestination theologically, but philosophically it leads to nihilism. The nihilist sees no hope. The nihilist sees that there is absolutely no reason to live. Oftentimes that can lead one to a great deal of depression, even to suicide, while on the other hand, it leads a person into hedonism and a let the loose end drag mental attitude. May as well raise hell while we're alive and able, because this is going to all at the end turn into nothing but vanity. So you can go one of two ways, and determinism is a way of describing it philosophically, and predestination is what you arrive at theologically, and there are denominations founded on these ideas. And the reason is you can't distinguish between the sovereignty of God and the free will of man and come to the conclusion that they actually can coexist. And so in order to understand why determinism is an invalid system for analyzing human behavior and divine sovereignty, we have paused to study in a bit of detail the doctrine of divine decrees. Now, I believe we've got available down here now several copies of The Integrity of God. It turned out we had run dry over at the file on Sunday. And those of you who are interested in a copy of that certainly can pick up one on the way out. Now, I'm using as a guideline for our study of the doctrine, Appendix B of that book, The Doctrine of Divine Decrees. And for your information, it begins on page 240 and runs for about 20 to 30 pages. And we noted in our closing moments on Sunday the definition of the concept, and it's one that we've reviewed over and over. The decree of God is His eternal, holy, wise, and sovereign purpose. Well, the purpose that God has in creating both angels and man is His glory and blessing both of these creations, blessing angels and blessing man. His desire then and His purpose is to bless us and to therefore bring glory to Himself. And therefore, His divine decree is made up and influenced and founded by several of His divine attributes. It says that His purpose is eternal. Well, that's His eternal life. Therefore, the decrees indicate that there will be no end to His ongoing plan and purpose. It is holy. Therefore, His integrity is involved. His integrity includes the divine attributes of righteousness, justice, and love. He is wise, and therefore His wisdom is a part of the divine decree, and that includes His omniscience. And finally, obviously, His sovereignty, which means He is the absolute authority. He is the ultimate decision maker in both angelic and human history. And therefore, His decree includes all of these concepts. It is His eternal, holy, wise, and sovereign purpose, comprehending simultaneously all things that ever were or will be. And that, of course, brings into view again His omniscience. He knows all that is knowable and is not limited by time in His perspicacity of these events. Not only does He know what's going to occur as far as decision-making processes are concerned, He also is aware of their causes, their courses, their conditions, their successions, and their relations. And therefore, knowing and understanding all of these primary, secondary, and tertiary influences is able to decree that all of these things will be certainly future. And that is the definition for the doctrine of divine decrees. And we necessarily, as humans, perceive the divine decrees in partial aspects. We have to study them incrementally to take a certain view and examine that and then move on to another view of the concept. And therefore, this is necessary because of the limitations of our human mentality. And therefore, we often refer to them as the divine decrees in the plural, but really it is one decree since it was decreed by God simultaneously at a moment in eternity past. God does not have to work things out logically. He doesn't have to go point one through point X. It's all known and clearly discerned by Him simultaneously. And therefore, it is one all-inclusive decree. It was given in eternity past. It covers everything and all of what we refer to as past, present, and future history. And we documented the reference to the decrees in both the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, and in the New Testament, Ephesians 1, verse 11. Now, the second paragraph is where we resume our study this evening, and we call it the computer analogy of the divine decrees, and that is where the handout that we distributed on Sunday will come in handy, and we'll make reference to it along as we go. Point one, in His omniscience, God knows perfectly, eternally, and simultaneously all that is knowable, both potential and actual. There is no fact of either angelic or human history that escapes God's knowledge. He does not have to learn anything. He is never taught. He is never on the receiving end of instruction. He is the ultimate source of all knowledge, and He has known this from eternity past. And you can see that on the diagram, omniscience, God has eternally known all that is knowable. Secondly, to God, the future is as perspicuous as is the past. He is not limited by time, past, present, or future tense. In the eternal state, God in His omniscience is able to look into the far distant future and to discern all the thoughts, decisions, and actions involved in that what we would call period of time, as well as we are able to look into the past and observe certain historical events. Past, present, and future are not barriers for God. He knows it all inclusively. Thirdly, the omniscience of God knows the alternatives to history, the potential as well as the actual. Now, all of us make decisions throughout the day. We've made decisions throughout our life. Some of them have been big decisions. There are many life-changing decisions that we make from time to time. We decide whether or not we're going to go to college or not. And then the decision is, if not, what am I going to do? So other options become available. I can go immediately to work. I can join the military. I can go and be a hippie out in a national park for a while. I'll do nothing. I'll travel abroad, whatever your options are. But if you decide to go to college, you then must decide which college you're going to go to. And then that is a big decision-making process. Which college you go to determines a lot of things as to what will happen for the rest of your life. The contacts you make, the friends that are created there. There will be lifelong friends that will be with you forever, at least in your memory, if nowhere else. And then you will decide what subject matter you will study. And oftentimes you will change majors, and you won't know at first what your lifetime pursuit is going to be. And then you'll finally decide upon that. And that will dictate where you go to work after you graduate, if you do. And then while there, while at some fraternity event, and then dependent upon what fraternity you join, depends upon who you run with at that point, and all these kinds of decisions are made. And I'll join this fraternity here rather than that one there. And by joining this fraternity, there are certain circle of ladies that are associated with this particular group, and lo and behold, I run into one that I'm attracted to. And then there are several to choose from on campus, but ultimately you make one choice and say, darling, will you follow me around forever? And she says, well, I will. And so that's the person you marry. But there may have been 10 or 15 others that you could have selected from, or that would have put up with you and said yes, dependent upon your financial status and whether or not you kept your nose clean and all the rest of that. So this gargantuan number of decisions that are before you, but only a few are made. And then the results of those decisions stay with you for the rest of your life. God knows what would have happened if any of these factors had been different. If you'd gone to a different school, if you'd joined a different fraternity, if you'd married a different woman, if you'd taken a different major, if you hadn't gone to school at all, if you joined the military rather than going straight to work or what have you. All God could tell you and will, if you're so curious in eternity future, you can sit down before him if he's willing to waste the time, and he'll tell you exactly what would have happened had you made alternate choices from the ones which you made, and give you in detail all of the ramifications out to the infinite degree. That's potential. God knows all of that, but it is not a part of human history. It is not reality. It is not actuality. The omniscience of God knows the alternatives of history, the potential as well as the actual. 4, the affairs of your day today offered you the opportunity to make a number of different decisions, but in the end, you only decided on a few. In the end, you only decided on a few. Now, God knew all the potential choices you could have made today, but didn't. And the resultant ramifications of each. However, the ones you chose were the only ones he decreed. Only the ones you chose are the ones he decreed. 5. I hope that you can note by the, you have to have practical application of all of these things. I mean, what's this for if we can't use it? The application to point 4 is, you made choices today, and you can't go back and change them. You have to live with the ramifications of the choices you made today. You can say, well, I wish I'd done it another way, and you can even go back and try and change things. And some things can be changed. As far as the future is concerned, you can go back and say, look, I fouled up here. That was a stupid decision. I'd like to call all you people back in and say that that was a stupid decision. And I see that. I woke up in the middle of the night and it dawned on me that this is not going to work. And I apologize for all of the confusion, but we're going to do plan B today. And everybody's nodding their heads, so I'm sure I'm glad. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And after the smoke clears, then everybody gets their self in gear and execute plan B. But you made the choice for plan A, and that necessitated certain ramifications in order to rectify the problem. It meant calling everybody back in and saying, this is bad, this is good, let's do the good thing. And everybody's saying, well, bravo, let's do that. But that took up time, didn't it? And there was a period, a process, a procedure that you had to go through in order to correct a flawed idea. So you can see that everything is registered in the decrees. The ones you choose are the ones God decrees. 5. Foreknowledge is a category of divine knowledge. And that's down here at the bottom, and you'll note it's registered here as a printout. Foreknowledge is a category of divine knowledge. It makes nothing certain, but is God's acknowledgement of what is certain. So you will note that the printout here, this particular example, foreknowledge, comes out of the prom chip. Now the prom chip, as we will explain a little bit later in our study, and which you already know by a brief review the other day, the prom chip is where your decisions are registered, the ones that we've been noting, the ones you made today, for example. and they're logged in the PROM chip, and we'll define it, programmable once only, it says here, and we'll expand upon that. But the point I want to make right now is that there are quite a number of different categories of decisions that you can make in your life that are registered on this PROM chip. And one category of decisions, for example, has to deal with your sins. And God knows every sin that you commit, from the moment you commit your first one until the last one you commit right before you die, and knows them by name and can read them out chronologically. Now, this is not a concern for you, because there is a printout that can be called for from the decree out of the PROM chip that will give a readout of all of your sins as well as all of the sins of everyone else who has ever lived. And that printout was accumulated into one all-encompassing imputation that was diverted away from you and your fellow humans over to Christ on the cross. And those sins became His. He was identified with our sins. He was judged for them. And therefore, those sins are no longer pertinent to our life. The issue is, what think ye of Christ? And after believing in Christ, these pre-salvation sins are forgiven, and the rest are dealt with through rebound as you move through your Christian walk. Now, there's one category of foreknowledge right there as far as the printout is concerned. God has foreknowledge of your sins. He knows all of the sins you committed. Now, the question arises is, did God have anything to do with that? Just because God, with His omniscience, is able to discern your thinking, your decision-making, and your actions, even before you do them, does not mean He has any input on that. You are your own decision-making machine. You have free will. You can originate thought. That's what volition does. You originate choices. And you can claim that it goes back to your heredity and your environment, but that means that you permit these outside influences to have an effect. They are not, repeat, they are not the cause. The cause of the decisions you make are your own personal free choice. No one else's, and you can blame it not on these things like environment and your heredity. Now, they certainly influence. They're out there influencing you, but you do not have to be influenced. So foreknowledge is a category of divine knowledge. Another form of printout in this category of foreknowledge would be God looking at the angel in charge of the computer center and saying, give me a printout of all in history who responded positively to God at gospel hearing before they experienced physical death. That, the bottom line, is a list of all believers. And that's foreknowledge. But I get the point here. Foreknowledge is a category of divine knowledge, but it makes nothing certain. Foreknowledge is simply God's acknowledgement of what is certain. What is certain is what's on the PROM chip. That's what's decreed. The printout simply says what is going to be the reality. And it can be analyzed in varied aspects, like a printout of sin, a printout of divine good, a printout of all who have been saved, a printout of varied other subjects. That's foreknowledge. It makes nothing certain, but only acknowledges what has been decreed. Point six. The decrees interact equally with all future events of every kind. For example, it interacts with sin, human good and evil, as well as the morally correct, divine good, and the honorable. And this shows you that human volition coexists with divine sovereignty. The decrees interact equally with all. And how is this possible? It is possible because, and I'll slip this underneath so I can draw on top of it, if I can. Involved in the sovereignty of God's side is the justice of God. And it's justice that actually takes care of several concepts here. And I'll draw a line across here over to the PROM chip. Justice is going to have to manage decisions made by you that are registered in the PROM chip. And I've listed three categories on each side of the ledger here. We have sin, human good, and evil. Now, justice is going to balance the books in the sense that sin, human good, and evil are going to be dealt with by discipline as far as the believer is concerned. The believer will be disciplined and will be punished for these kinds of things after the fact. God doesn't go out and try and solve problems before they occur. He waits until they occur from your volition, and then He deals with them. Now, He seeks to influence you, but He does not determine what you do. Now, justice, by the same token, can go down here and take a look at your moral acts, your production of divine good, and your honorable way of life. And this is the recipient from justice through the pipeline of blessings and reward. And so this is how the ROM chip, through justice, is able to manage the varied choices that take place over in the PROM chip and deals with them equally. In other words, you're going to have a balance here between your discipline and your blessing. In other words, you can commit a sin, say gossip about your neighbor. He's not going to strike you dead at the moment. You can say a very nice thing about your neighbor, a very noble gentleman, a prince of a fellow, a hail fellow well met. Well, what do you expect for that? Well, I don't know, but I can't imagine the blessings being extremely strong for that either. Things are balanced out, you see. But then if you murder your neighbor, that's the horse of another herd. So there's balance here. The decrees interact equally with all future events of every kind. To sin, human good, and evil, as well as to the morally correct, the divine good, and the honorable. Thus, 7. Omniscience knows the facts of history apart from the potentials of history. The facts are known as separated from the potential. And I have labeled that actual here in the decrees. Now, the computer then is programmed. The divine decrees contain the facts of history, not the potentials of history. 8. Computer science offers us an excellent illustration of how this works in human terms. Now remember, before we go to the illustration, that the decrees were accomplished simultaneously in eternity past, not in stages. But again, we have to view these things incrementally. Sometimes in our mind's eye, what we would view is chronologically. And therefore, in order to discern these things, we have to break it down. God did all of this at a moment in time. So point 9. Nevertheless, we must view it as a chronological process. A few sub-points. Point 1. Through omniscience, God separated truth from fiction and inserted the former into an imaginary computer. Now, this is an illustration. I'm not suggesting that in heaven there is this big computer, other than the fact in God's mind, which I guess does exist. But this idea of the computer is an illustration. And you may be bored by this. I remember when I first learned it. We've taught it here before. I thought, where are we going with this? Because I knew less then about computers than I know now, which is not much. The fact that I knew less 20 years ago than I do now doesn't entail a lot of gained knowledge on my part since then. But I do know a little more. And then I knew nothing. And the point is that if you will endure this, you will have a major problem-solving device in your stream of consciousness. The applications with the doctrine of divine decrees are limitless and therefore very important to your spiritual growth and your ability to discern the events of the day. Remember, everything you see go on, when you read the front page of the newspaper, it did not catch God by surprise. And all of the decisions made to bring all of these events about were known by God in eternity past, and they're in the decrees, and they can't be changed or altered. So through omniscience, God separated truth from fiction and inserted the former into an imaginary computer. Point 2. In that computer are two categories of chips. Chips are integrated circuits in which data are stored. Whatever that means. For example, integrated circuits into which data are stored. Little bitty things like this. 3, the ROM chip is the sovereignty of God chip. It is an integrated circuit into which unchanging data can be read, but into which no new data can be written or altered. Repeat. A ROM chip is an integrated circuit into which unchanging data can be read, but into which no new data can be written or altered. A ROM chip stands for read-only memory. Now, ROM is prepared by the manufacturer and cannot be altered once the chip is made. A ROM chip is made by a manufacturer, and once made, it cannot be altered. And so in our definition here, we have the concept of preparation. A ROM chip is a sovereignty of God chip, an integrated circuit into which unchanging data can be read, but which no new data can be written or altered. Now, the preparation process for that chip, its invention, its manufacturing process, is really the omniscience of God. Omniscience creates the ROM chip. Now we have the concept that once it's created, it can't be altered. And the concept of unalterability is immutability. God's not going to change, and therefore the chip can't be altered. So whatever's in the ROM chip is there for all eternity, and it's not going to change. So once it's made, which is the divine decrees, once it is decreed, it is not altered. That's omniscience and immutability. Point 4. The PROM chip is the free will of man chip. PROM stands for Programmable Read-Only Memory. It is an integrated circuit with fixed data that can be read but not altered. The PROM chip is an integrated circuit with fixed data that can be read but not altered. Now, a type of ROM that can be programmed once, The ROM chip is a type that, excuse me, I have to start over. The PROM chip is a type of ROM that can be programmed once. The PROM chip is a type of ROM chip that can be programmed once. And this is done by blowing selected fuses, a process called blasting. You are the blaster. The PROM chip is the blastee. Further, describing a PROM chip, if a change is needed, a new PROM must be programmed. If a change is needed, a new PROM must be programmed. If you program it wrongly, you can't change it. You have to throw that out and start over and reblast. Now, the concept of programmable once is your free will. You get to program the PROM chip once, and you do it with your own free will. You make the choice, and you get one shot. Blasting is the actual decision making. When your volition clicks on a given idea, you just blasted the chip. One time. What if you think a change needs to be made? That is not permitted. See problem solving device number 1, rebound. You go to your owner's manual. go to problem-solving devices. Look up problem-solving device number one. Did you make a bad blast? Do you want to change the bad blast? You will read there, sorry, it is a prom chip. It has already been programmed. You can only do that once. However, there is a problem-solving device for a bad blast. Problem-solving device number one, confession alone to God alone. What about the idea of just throwing out the chip and getting a new one? Not permissible. Reincarnation is a false doctrine. You live with what you do. One life only, one choice at a time. One blast at a time. The prom chip then is a free will of man chip. It is an integrated circuit with fixed data that can be read but not altered. And God reads that prom chip and sees every decision you make. In fact, that inventory I teach you that he pulls every morning out of Revelation 2:23, the inventory was pulled in a moment of time through foreknowledge in eternity past. That printout of all of your sins, they were known by God in eternity past. Point five. By analogy then, your life can be read, but it cannot be altered. Isn't that fascinating? Go all the way back to eternity past, before the creation of the universe, and God could tell you every thought, decision, and action that you would make in chronological order from the moment of your birth to the moment of your death. Can't be altered. This is why the unbeliever, God's justified to send the unbeliever to hell. Or the lake of fire, more accurately. Why? He's got proof. He's got proof on the prom chip that that person rejected the love of God. It's not his fault. He provided a solution to the problem through love. Love was the motivation. I love you so much, I give you and everyone else who ever lived my uniquely born son, and all you have to do is believe in him and you will have eternal life. I love you enough to do this. What do you think? And you say, this individual, this unbeliever, I don't buy it. No, thank you. I think I can be good enough to get into heaven, or there is no hereafter, or whatever the rationale is. And so when that person comes before the great white throne for judgment regarding the eternal incarceration into the lake of fire, that person's sins are not going to be brought up. Why? It is not necessary to bring up the sins because the sins were dealt with on the cross. There was a printout, there was an imputation, there was a judgment, and the case rests there. What is the issue as far as the eternal future is concerned? What think ye of Christ? He goes into the prom chip and can prove there was never a positive response. It is not there. There was never a blast for a positive response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not there. And therefore, he is justified in sending that person to the lake of fire. He didn't do it. It was their choice. Or in this case, lack of choice. There was a choice, but certainly not a positive one. So your life can be read, but it cannot be altered. You have privacy, and you can make your own good and bad decisions. It's all up to you, and you can claim outside influence, but you can just forget it. You can go into the decrees and see that volition is free. The prom chip logs them all of their decisions, the prom chips of everyone. Everything is logged in sequential order. Nothing is left out. Nothing is forgotten. So you have the privacy. Your privacy really is the freedom of your volition. Nobody can invade your soul and determine how you're going to choose or influence how you're going to choose. They can try this. They can't determine. I should be cautious on my terminology. Everyone tries to influence you, but no one determines how you choose except you yourself. And when the choice-making time comes, it's all you're doing. You are a decision-making machine. God has created a race of creatures and imputed to them a free will that can operate independently of himself. The free will of man and the sovereignty of God must coexist. And you stand guilty for all of the bad decisions you make, and you can't blame it on anyone else. And if people want to know what causes anything, take a look at the action. Take a look at the action. What happened here? And then say, who did this? Well, Fred and John did it. Well, Fred and John are the ones who are responsible. Well, what are we going to do about it? Well, we arrest them. Well, they kill themselves. Well, that's the end of that. Because we're upset with the event, we got to go find somebody else to persecute. Well, they kill themselves. We can't do anything to them. I know. Let's track their parents down. We'll shoot them. Let's track down people they knew. We'll kill them. That's determinism, by the way. Six, the entering of data is performed after the PROM chip is manufactured. The entering of data is performed after the PROM chip is manufactured. When's a PROM chip manufactured? At the moment of your physical birth. At the moment that your soul life is imputed to your biological life, creating human life. That's when the PROM chip is manufactured for you. But God knew this in eternity past, and therefore read your thoughts, decisions, and actions, and put it in the divine decrees in eternity past. So the omniscience of God wrote into your PROM chip how your volition functions in time. He knows. And see, this is what confuses those that believe in the false doctrine of predestination, which is formulated by a false Calvinism. Calvin didn't believe in this. It was his subsequent guru, Beza, that came up with five-point Calvinism. It really should be called five-point Bezaism. Calvin had nothing to do with it. Calvin did not write or come up with this false doctrine of predestination, which says that human free will has nothing to do with anything. It's all the sovereignty of God. And therefore, in eternity past, because God has omniscience and can look out into human history, that's not the deal. He decided up front who was going to be in his eternal future kingdom. He just decreed right up front who it was that was going to be there, and the rest are reprobate. Why? Because human free will is not an issue. It is all the sovereignty of God. And he sovereignly decreed who would be in his future kingdom. And the rest? Well, I don't know what we're for, the rest of us. What are we for? Why did he create mankind if he knew the outcome from the get-go? As far as if he was going to manipulate things, why did he create mankind if there's no free will? And he gets to dictate and determine all things without reference to our choices. What's the use in it? It's very frustrating. But God seeks to influence, but he never determines. We determine. And he created human history so with free will, he would have a following in the eternal future that would be with him from their own decision-making process, not from some pre-programmed idea that he came up with in eternity past. It makes no sense. And what he is after doing is finding a following, someone who will follow him from their free will, a decision they make, not him. He wants people to follow him willingly, not because he pre-programs them to. Those are called automatons, slaves. R2-D2, C-3PO. You just program people to do what you want them to do, and they have no choice. They just do what they're programmed to do. But there's a chip put in at the moment of your physical birth called volition, and you get to program it once. And every day of your life, you get a shot at every decision one time. And you may, if you had 50 decisions you made today, you had 50 shots at blasting. How'd you do? Can't go back and change it. It's there. But God knew it in eternity past. What happens as a result of this knowledge? There's blessing or discipline associated with that collection of 50 decisions. Were they primarily based on divine viewpoint and biblical guidance? Blessing may be associated with your day's work today. How about the fact you blasted mostly from the sin nature? Discipline probably is in order. Who's the doer here? You are. You are the blaster. God is the observer. And He controls everything through that point of contact called justice. But only after the fact. You make the choices that determine how justice imputes either blessing or imputes discipline. I do hope you will get this tape, because I see some wrinkled brows. So let's go back. I'm not satisfied with this. You got to get this. You got to understand how your decision making is your decision making. And because God knows what you're going to do doesn't mean that He determines what you do. I'll just cut it down and tell you who they are. The Presbyterians have decided God determines what you do in eternity past, and determined who would be the elect. Before He did anything, He determined who would be the elect. And the rest are reprobate. And volition's got nothing to do with it. They don't have a prayer. And so what are they confused about? The fact that there are unbelievers at the end of human history, and God knew who they'd be. Well, if He knew who they'd be and His desires that all would come to salvation, He must have programmed it that way. No. He gave everyone free will, and each individual made a choice for or against Jesus Christ as Savior. And at the end of human history, there's a large group of people who chose not to believe. And those are the ones that are reprobate from their own decision, and they're sent to the lake of fire because they chose to reject the love of God. The love of God did not reject them. The entering of data is performed then after the prom chip is manufactured. You enter the data once on each decision-making process. The omniscience of God wrote into your prom chip how your volition functions in time. 7. All prom chips contain data regarding the function of the free will of man in history. All prom chips contain data regarding the function of the free will of man in history. Eight, God fed in the facts simultaneously in eternity past. See, we do the blasting in time, but He perceived what we would do in eternity past. You got to get that. See, you got to think on two planes. You got to think in eternity, and you have to think in time. God functions in eternity, you function in time. God is not limited by time, therefore the future is as perspicuous to Him as is the past. So when I speak of us programming our prom chip in time, then you have to shift to God's eternal status and understand that in eternity past, He was able to view what we do in time and know our choices. Knowing our choices from an eternal attribute called omniscience in no way determines the choice we make in time. It only observes it. We make the choices. We program the chip. God observes. But He doesn't have to wait until we do it to know what we're going to do. He knew it in eternity past. So God fed the facts simultaneously in eternity past. The facts include everything you ever think, decide, or do, past, present, or future. It's already logged, and He knows it. This doesn't, therefore, tamper with your free will. There's no determinism on God's part here. You are free to decide, and you do so. He observes and then puts it in the decrees. God fed all the facts simultaneously in eternity past. The facts include everything you ever think, decide, or do in past, present, or future. And this doesn't tamper with your free will. Point 9. Foreknowledge then is a printout which pertains to the believer only. Foreknowledge pertains to the believer only. We don't find any indication in Scripture that there's any kind of interest on God's part regarding the unbeliever. Thus, with regard to foreknowledge. Thus, point 10. The search engine in the computer seeks out all who made a positive decision at gospel hearing and prints out those names. Here is God's omniscience. The dotted line indicates eternity past. And here is time. And these decisions are being made throughout human history. Now, I want to elevate omniscience up here and note that God is not limited by time. This is all time down here. And God is not limited by time. The future, as far as what we call the future, is as known to Him and is as perspicuous to Him as anything that happened in what we would call the past. He's not limited by past, present, and future. And so as an outside observer, this circle here represents the universe and God is in eternity. So time and space are involved in the universe. Eternity doesn't recognize these concepts. And God is certainly not limited by them. And so as an external observer, He is able to peer into time from His omniscient eternal status and note the decisions we make. That's omniscience. And as He notes these decisions, He says, well, out of all the decisions those people could have made, those are the ones? Okay, if that's the way you guys want it, then I'll decree that in the prom chip. But He says to Himself, there's a sovereignty of God ship that's going to handle the bad decisions. There's a sovereignty of God ship that'll handle the good decisions. And these people are absolutely free to go ahead and do this. Now, I've observed it, I've categorized it, and I've logged it in the computer, and that's the way it's going to turn out. And because I know the way it's going to turn out, I've got a plan to take care of the whole thing that in the end is going to glorify me and bless believers. Because I know all these things, I've developed this plan. And the plan, in the end, will glorify me. It will bless believers. No matter what these decisions are here. Now, I've gone in here and I've taken a look at that. And there's a lot of potential here. The potential is up here. The things that could have happened but didn't. He's saying, well, there's a lot of potential here. And up here in this potential, a lot of good decisions that didn't get made. For example, there's a lot of people with the assets to advance to spiritual maturity in the church age who didn't choose to use them. There's a lot of good decisions here that didn't get made. And there's another thing. There's a lot of people that are sitting up here in this potential that were negative volition at gospel hearing. It's my desire everybody would come to salvation, but as I peer into human history, I don't see it happening. It's not happening for these people. Nevertheless, their volition is free. I cannot determine what they do. I will not go back and alter the prom chips. I'm not going to re-blast it. That would be unfair. So I'll just decree what they decided. And that goes in the prom chip. And that, now that it's programmed, cannot be altered. And people who get to their dying day and have not accepted Christ as Savior, and they come before the great white throne and say, well, I didn't really understand. I didn't really grab this. I didn't grasp this whole thing and the severity of it all. Well, do you remember when you sat down on the front of the TV one night with your Doritos and you happened to pass by Billy Graham back in the 50s when he had it straight? And he gave you a clear delineation of the gospel, and you sat there and said, we're all trying to get to the same place. We all are trying to get to heaven in our own different ways, but our intentions are good. And Best I remember Jesus Christ as one of these little pusillanimous, weak-kneed, skinny kind of sissy-looking, long-haired hippie dudes. As I remember from that Baptist Sunday school, that picture, that gnarly picture they had of him, he looked like a wimp to me. No, thank you. Do you remember that? They'll say, peer down over the judgment bar of God. Do you remember that decision? Yes, sir. You have no excuse. The delineation was accurate and you chose not to believe it. I can't help it. If you permitted outside influences like a bad picture of Christ to cause you to go to hell. And those are bad pictures. And we make every effort in our prep school to make Christ look like the hero that he is. But quite often you run across these pictures where I've seen hippies in Height Ashbury look worse, or better, I should say. So, but there's not, we have no photographic retrospective of Christ. There are none. We have no idea what he looked like. So we have to come up with an idea based on Scripture. He was a carpenter. And in those days, they didn't have winches. Well, they had winches, but they didn't have winches. I mean, you had to carry your wood around. And you had to deal with all of the paraphernalia and building things with your bare hands and your shoulders and your legs and your thighs and your back muscles. Carpenters were big, strong, burly guys. And Jesus Christ, I'm sure, was neat. Order was the order of the day for him. And when he dressed up, I'm sure it was in as clean of clothes as you could get that day. They didn't have 1 hour Martinizing. As clean of clothes as you could get. And it was probably in the style of the day, whatever that was. And he went about his business dressed appropriately, whatever that was. Well, that was a rabbit trail. The search engine in the computer seeks out all who made a positive decision at gospel hearing and prints out the names. 11. God decrees to provide every logistical support necessary in order to sustain those people in time up to the moment of salvation and thereafter until physical death. Now, did you hear what I said? In eternity past, God has developed a perfect plan for believers only. He peers out into human history and finds those who respond positively from their own free will. And then, having observed that, his plan guarantees logistical support that will sustain these people in time up to the moment of their salvation, and then thereafter until their physical death. Your logistical support is decreed, and it can't be altered. That's in the sovereignty of God, Chip. Your future, as far as your necessary needs are concerned, are decreed. I will now hand ring for a moment. Let's wring our hands collectively and say, what are we going to do about Y2K? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Your logistics are in the computer, have been from eternity past. God decrees to provide every logistical support necessary to sustain those people in time, those people, point 10, who responded positively at gospel hearing. God decrees to provide every logistical support necessary to sustain those people in time up to the moment of salvation. Satan can't kill them before they're saved. And therefore, continue on until physical death. You have your logistics after salvation until the day you die. Now back to point 10. Those were sub-points under 9. The fact that your thoughts, decisions, and actions are in the decrees does not mean that the decree caused you to decide these things. The decree causes nothing. It simply makes certain that those things that will happen will be certainly future. The fact that your thoughts, decisions, and actions are in the decrees does not mean that the decree caused you to decide on these things. You decided them and God logged it on the prom chip. And so, point 11, the cause is your own free will. Free will. Free will. Your thoughts are in the computer because in eternity past, God had the wisdom to know what you would think in time and then chose to permit it. He knows what you chose in time and then decreed to permit it. Everything, your sinning, your stupid ideas, your ridiculous concepts, your bad theology, and all of the good things, your acceptance of Christ, your spiritual growth, the development of an inventory of ideas that begins to harmonize with His eternal logos. All of these things He observes and permits each and every one of them. Your thoughts are in the computer. Because in eternity past, God had the wisdom to know what you would think in time and chose to permit it. We'll resume at paragraph 3 on Thursday, the decree itself. Father, we're grateful to you for the power of the Word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would use this as a source of motivation and encouragement for our continued pursuit of truth. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.